Thankful to be here today. Thankful for the Lord's blessings on our lives. I appreciate the chance to say that. It's such a blessing to be able to recognize the goodness of God to us and how He loves us and is faithful to us. So I appreciate His goodness this morning. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Dear Lord, as we open Your Word, this is Your Word, and it's Your Holy Spirit that knows how to guide it, direct it to our hearts. So, Lord, please, God, in everything that is said and done, that it will be what You desire it to be, Lord, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, I want to look in Romans, the second chapter, to get started today. And I want to write a question on the board for us. Where is your heart? I don't know how many messages the Lord has given me recently about our heart. And I can seem to think in my mind, well, Lord, that's a pretty basic concept of following God. But it feels like the Lord's wanting to just delve into it this way and that way. And so we just want to trust Him with it. But specifically today, some of what the burden of the message is to really give us faith in the ability of the heart to guide the life. Let me explain what I meant by that. There's a verse in the Bible that says, we don't have it this morning, but I believe it's in the Psalms, maybe in Proverbs, that guard the heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life.
Proverbs 4:23.
You may be right there. Maybe Proverbs 4:23. And so there is something that God put in the heart that if it, whatever place our hearts are in, it's going to likely, that's what our lives are likely going to look like. Okay, so that's really kind of the burden today, is to talk about is in respect to our hearts and how that affects our lives, is that wherever our hearts are, that is going to influence what our lives look like. So we want to look in Romans, the second chapter, like we said here. And we want to maybe start with the 17th verse here and read some. It says, "Behold, thou art called a Jew, and resteth in the law, and maketh thy boast of God." Now, for what I feel like the Lord's given us today, I believe it's a correct application to think of where it says a Jew, to think of maybe saying, behold, you are a Christian. Behold, you are one who claims to know the Word. You're the one making a claim in your life that you are a child of God. You're claiming knowledge. Maybe we can look at it this way, and the Lord's is, I feel like, trying to point out something today. We had a message a while back about our actions being a sign of where our hearts are, and maybe this will be along some of the same lines. It's not accusatory, but it's something for us to consider as we think about how strongly the heart guides our actions in life, and wherever our heart is affects that. And so it says here, it says, you're called a Jew. You rest in the law, maketh thy boast of God. You knowest his will. These are the things you're proclaiming. Approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident that thou thyself art a guide of the blind, and a light unto them which are in darkness, an instructor of the foolish, a teacher of babes, which hath a form of knowledge and of truth in the law. And so, as we read this and we think of speaking maybe to us as those who know the law, it also is speaking, okay, there's something here God's trying to warn us about, that we not end up in this kind of a place with that, where there's this overconfidence based on our knowledge. We want knowledge. What the Jews were here was excellent. That's what it'd be wonderful for everyone in the world to have knowledge of God and to know His will, and to be able to guide those who maybe don't see. But this is speaking of maybe an overconfidence in those things that's been built up. Because those things were present, then the confidence began to be in those things. And there's an illustration here of how that's going to fall short, but that's not where the real action comes from. And so he does point that out in the next few verses. He said, you've got this overconfidence in your knowledge. And so let me ask you some questions. You that teachest another, teachest thou not thyself? Thou that preachest a man should not steal, dost thou steal? Thou that sayest a man should not commit adultery, dost thou commit adultery? Thou that abhorrest idols, dost thou commit sacrilege? Thou that makest thy boast of the law through breaking the law, dishonorest thou God? So the question goes out, okay, you have this knowledge. Now, be honest. You're saying that you shouldn't lie. Are you being honest? Are you being truthful in all of your actions? You're saying a person should be faithful. Are you faithful? You're saying that a person should give honor to God. Are you honoring God in your actions? Are those two things lining up? Because just having the knowledge is not what cuts it. It's not what gets it done. All right? And so look and see. Is your life matching up? All right? Are they together? And so maybe that's a good question for us to consider and to think about as we consider it. And it goes on, it says, for the name of God is blasphemed among you, the Gentiles, through you. Among the Gentiles through you, as it is written. And so, as we read this verse, he's saying the name of God is blasphemed, and those who don't have all the knowledge that you claim to have, his name is being blasphemed. Now, there's several ways that could happen. If I claim one thing and I live it out in a way that doesn't match up, someone with not as much knowledge might view that as the way things are done. And therefore, in their life, they blaspheme God because they claim Him and don't live up to that standard. It can also be that as I claim certain things and I don't do them, someone is turned away and becomes a blasphemer of God because of that. There could be several reasons why this is the case. But it's definitely having an effect, all right? And so it says, for circumcision verily profiteth. In other words, the actions you do that you claim are a covenant with God in your life, the things that are seen externally, those are profitable if you keep the law. It's profitable to have a life that exemplifies holiness, purity. It is profitable if you keep the law. But if you don't keep the law, then you're given an extra space, more than someone who might just be an out-and-out heathen. You're given a space to someone who is maybe, and the illustration here when it says Gentiles are not people who were just away from God, but there were people who were coming to God, but they didn't know a lot of things about it. And if your life is not matching up to your external things that you're showing, then we're not talking about profit anymore, but we're talking about problems. We can have profit from our lives and from the external things. People need to see that Christianity is something that affects us externally. People need to see, wait a minute, they live different. Why do they live different? They say it's because God has led them this way. They need to see that difference. But if they see it and they see a life that isn't matching up to those things, you say you do these things for God, and your God also says that your God is love, and yet your actions don't line up with that. Says your God is a God of patience, and your actions don't line up with that. It says your God is a God of faithfulness, and your actions don't line up with that. Well, then you're giving space. No longer are we profiting the world because of our external manifestation of what Christ is doing in our life, but we're actually causing problems. That's true. it would be better that we didn't have these extra on things if we're not going to live it. Don't go that way, but that's the point of this message, all right, and what the Lord has given us here. The Lord's name is amazing. It's incredible. It is such an honor to carry God's name in my life. I do not want to do it in vain. I do not want to do it in a way that is not lining up. And this is not to get over, beat down in your life, but to be honest. If I'm going to make these external manifestations, then my life needs to be matching that. If I'm going to be a follower of God externally in the things I do and manifest this holiness in my life, well, then I need to be the peacemaker he talks about his children being. I need to be merciful as he talks about his children being. I need to be meek. I need to be humble. I need to make sure those are going right with everything else that I'm doing in life. All the qualities of who God is, they should be present. And Lord, help me in any way that they're not, that I realize the importance of that in my life. Because I don't want to be the one. For my own sake, I mean, we're talking a little bit about our witness this morning, but just for my own sake, I don't want to be that. But I also don't want people to have problems that the Lord truly says, you know what? They have their own life to deal with, but you have a responsibility here because you weren't matching up. You were claiming to be something that you weren't practicing in your life, that wasn't your focus. We say we worship God. What does it mean to worship somebody? It means this guy's got my attention. This thing has got my attention. I mean, we talk about there's people who worship, sports figures, entertainment figures, all kinds of people in life that they would worship them. Well, there's generally a huge measure of attention that person has to that, if we would claim that of their life. We worship God. How much of our attention does he have? Or do they see that, well, they claim to worship God and it must be okay not to give him much space in your life because they sure are busy with so many other things. What is it? Are we truly displaying what we're claiming to be in life? And again, all this, I just feel the Lord wanting to say this. Just take some time and think about it. Just consider your life. Don't get overburdened about this. But think about it. How important is it to be where he wants you to be? And let's turn that question around. How important is it that where you are is where God wanted you to be?
Yes.
How important is that in our lives? Is that what matters to me? I think these are the questions. Nobody in here, I think, is going to walk out and steal tomorrow from somebody. We're not going to be thieves. But we can take it deeper. We can take it deeper, and our witness can be even stronger in life. I believe that with all my heart.
Yes.
All right? And so it says, therefore, if circumcision fairly profiteth if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, then thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. It's just... What is this? What is this manifestation that you're having? All right. So what is the secret here? Because we want to be successful. You know what? Sometimes when we assess our lives and we're like, hey, I feel a little short here. It's not because that we just wanted to be or we were trying to be hypocritical in any way. Some people are. They get in these places because they're that way. I hope that's none of us. But sometimes we get there. There's a lot to living for God. And Satan loves to make things confusing. And sometimes we can, forget a little bit how it really works to the fullness of what God meant for it to work. And so let's think about how does it work to the fullness of what God meant? Because that's what God wants this morning. He's not looking to try to make us feel bad about maybe an area of our life that we realize, wait a minute, God, what am I doing here? Lord, how can I make this what you want it to be? God's not looking to beat you down and He's looking to help you make that everything He wanted it to be in your life. And He wants you to experience the joys of that in your life. He wants you to experience the joys of your light, of His light shining brighter through your life. And so let's look at this here. Let's back up just a little bit. In the 14th verse, it says, "For when the Gentiles, those who really don't have the knowledge, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves." So what he's pointing out here is, look around. Look at these people who don't know everything you know. How is it that they're managing to live a life that's matching up with the Lord? How is it that you did when you didn't know everything that you needed to know? What is it that's going on? He says, well, the next verse answers it. "Which shew the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, their thoughts the meanwhile excusing one another." Which show the work of the law written in their hearts. Just do what's right. The Lord tells us that we should worship Him in the beauty of holiness. Lord, let my life be focused on You. Lord, there's a lot of things that want to grab my attention, and some of them seem like they're pretty important. But Lord, if I am not able to do those without losing my focus on You, then Lord, help me. I don't have to understand it. I don't have to have knowledge of why that thing affects me that way. But if it affects me that way, then Lord, help me. There's a simple answer to the question. I don't want anything to do with that right now, at the very least in my life. I don't want anything to do with it, because even if it's something that at one point in my life, maybe I'll be able to pursue or be involved in, right now, it's affecting my attention on You. And Lord, that's what matters the most. That's not what the Word says. Is that not what we know, that our attention should be on God first in our life? That He should be above all things? That we should have no other idols before Him? Which means basically there shouldn't be anything that we're giving more attention to than what God wants out of our life. Nothing should be affecting that. If anything makes it a question, it's okay, I believe we said before, to say, maybe later. But right now, this is a question. No, I can't explain it. No, I don't have the knowledge. But the knowledge is not what enables me to be what I'm supposed to be. It helps. But it's not the bottom line. It's my heart. So if something's affecting my heart, then I need to put it to the side until I understand it better, or until I know better how it might actually assimilate my life. Because sometimes there's something God may eventually put in our lives, but we're in a spot where we can't handle it right now. Through knowledge, through just where our lives are at the moment, whatever it may be. And so let's realize and not lose sight of that. I can't handle this. Okay, maybe putting it this way too, because we can get this idea. All right, I've just got to keep up the appearance. And we don't really say it that way, but that's what we struggle to do, is just keep up the appearance, keep everything running. And even though I'm struggling with this thing, I don't see anything wrong with it. I don't have a knowledge of it being wrong. So we're just going to assimilate it in, and I'm just going to try to manage the situation. And then we have struggles. Lord, help me to consider it from the level of my heart, not from the level of my mind. Our minds are important. We want those given to God, but we've got to, the issues of life come from the heart. Yes. And so this is where I've got to keep this separate. Not live from my mind, but live from my heart, through my mind that's in control of the Lord. Yes. All right. So they said they show the work of the law written in their hearts. All right. Manifesting things. And if we then move on back to the 27th verse. So, shall not uncircumcision, which is by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter and circumcision doth transgress the law? How is it by the things of the law, I could actually transgress the law. Well, it's as simple as what happened to the Pharisees. By the things of the law, they transgressed the law. They got so focused in on their knowledge and living by knowledge and not maintaining their heart where it needed to be, that the law actually became what caused them to transgress the very thing they were claiming to follow. Well, that wasn't because the Pharisees lived in old times. That's the state of man's heart. That's the state of us. Because out of the issues, out of the heart are the issues of life. Today it's the same thing. If I begin to live simply by a knowledge of God, that very knowledge ends up being what causes me to transgress Him. Because it's preventing me from looking deeper and living from my heart and keeping my heart where it needs to be. All right? And so, if they, which by nature fulfill the law, judge thee who by the letter and circumcision does transgress the law, for he is not a Jew. He is not a Christian. He's not a follower of Christ, a child of God, who is one outwardly. So we're supposed to just look like whatever outwardly? No, that's not what it's saying. It's saying you're not accepted based on your outward condition. If you cleanse the inside of the cup, the outside will be clean also. So there will be a manifestation. But we're not accepted based on our outward condition and based on our ability to maintain that, based on our knowledge, based on living by just our knowledge. Okay, we're not accepted by that. He is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision, my covenant with God. I do these things, I've laid aside outward things, whatever they may be, the manifestations in my life. I've laid aside the way I would have naturally done them, and I do them as the Lord shows me. That's a covenant between me and God. It's something I do because I love Him, because I want to serve Him. That's the attention. Okay, we got the mind level and we got the heart. This is not where it needs to only be happening. It needs to go to here, to this level, and have that same kind of attention, even greater, to our hearts. Then it becomes, Lord, are you pleased with this in my life? Not, could I do this and not be in trouble? But Lord, are you pleased with these actions? Are they leading me closer to you? Are they leading me to worship? But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly, and circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. It's not a battle. It is a battle, but it's not a battle where we're saying we're either going to be people who have our heart all committed to God or and no outside, or outside all committed to God and no inside. That's what the devil wants to do. He said, he points out people like, well, they're just all about the outside. Well, I mean, they may be, and that's the problem we're talking about here today. But those who are committed inwardly will manifest outwardly the things of the Lord, absolutely, in their life. But they're not living just to make sure this is okay. They're living to please God from the heart. And that's what the Lord wants out of you. It's very simple. It's not complicated. God doesn't want it to be, but bring Him our hearts. Let's commit those to the Lord. Let's commit. If something's a question, let's not say, well, Lord, would I be in trouble for this? Let's say, Lord, would this please you if this is where I am in life, if this is what I do, if this is the way I live my life? Would this please you, make you happy? If not, I don't really need it. Why would I need it? That leads me to a question, and I think maybe before we ask it, I do want to read a few more verses to you about this. Psalms 51 and 6. Psalms 51 and 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The Lord, this is a level He wants to work at. Oh, the things He can manifest from our lives that cannot be understood or comprehended hardly by the human mind when we're opening up this part of our life to Him, giving Him this space. All right? Ezekiel, the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter and the 19th verse says, speaking of His people, let's back up 17th verse. It says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, I will even gather you from the people and assemble you out of the countries where you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. This is us lost. God finds us, puts us together in the family of God, and gives us His kingdom to walk in and to live in and be a part of. And they shall come thither, and they shall take away all the detestable things thereof, and all the abominations thereof from thence. And I will give them one heart, and I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh, and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my statutes, keep my ordinances, and do them. And they shall be my people, and I will be their God. The Lord's not able to just stamp knowledge on your brain. He's going to have my heart. He's going to have me willing to say, Lord, I don't really understand it, but this thing's taking my attention off of you. It's as simple as I say, and that's not what I want in life. I want my attention to be yours, and so I just don't want anything to do with that right now because it takes my attention away from you. All right? And He gives us this new heart for a very specific purpose, that they may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances. All right, Isaiah 29. Isaiah 29 and the 13th verse says, wherefore the Lord saith, for as much as this people draw near me with their mouth, and with their lips do honor me, but have removed their heart far from me, and their fear toward me is taught by the precept of men. Therefore, behold, I will proceed to do a marvelous work among this people, even a marvelous work and a wonder. For the wisdom of their wise men shall perish. The understanding of their prudent men shall be hid. Lord, help me. People who continued to honor, and you know what? One of the smoke screens in life is the whole culture of Christianity that lives as though speaking God and speaking His name and singing songs about Him somehow is the manifestation of what we're supposed to be as a Christian. All right? That is not going to cut it with the Lord. You see people who sing and I'm not up here. I don't feel like the Lord wants me to bring out judgment about everything this morning in this message. But I can say that there's a whole culture out there that openly turns away from what the Bible teaches while singing about God and while proclaiming Him. And teaches that as the way that we are as Christians. And that is a lie. That is not what God wanted. He told us right here.
Yes.
I want your hearts. I'm going to give you a new one that I can work with. No, I can't work with that fleshly heart. That's absolutely right. But I said I would give you a new one that I can work with. That is what God's done for you. Don't believe the lie out there in so much of the Christian culture that sings about God and that proclaims God and proclaims it as though that is the evidence of Christianity. Our lives will measure up now because the Lord, if we're willing to give Him our heart, He can put a new one there that can help us to walk in His statutes and follow Him and obey Him. All right? So here's a little question I have for you. What does it take for you to have a good day? I think that's a question we ask. You know, we want to know, okay, how can I kind of check myself and see where my heart is? What does it take for you to have a good day? Do you need, look, I'm not picking on anybody. I know some of you like coffee, it's whatever, but there's a saying, coffee and Jesus. Does it really take both of them for you to have a good day? You know, there's habits that I have in the morning. Does it take those with God for me to have a good day? There's habits I have throughout the day. There's things I like to do. Does it take them for me to have a good day? A challenge to us. If it does, then Lord help me. It's a real good sign that my heart's not completely where it needs to be. The Lord is sufficient. Now, I might have problems, I might have troubles, but I can have a good day if I have the Lord. Amen. If I've connected with Him and I spent my time with Him, there should be nothing else needed for me to have a good day today. Now, I may have troubles and trials, I may be sad, I may have things happen that do affect my emotions. That's all beside the point. You know, it was a hard day, but it was a good day because the Lord was with me in the midst of those struggles, in the midst of those places. And that's what matters. That's what I want more than anything, is that God would be with me. So you know what? I want to be with Him. Amen. I want to make sure my attention is given to Him, that He is first in my life. And if He is, then I can have a good day. I can be what I'm supposed to be in the Lord. And my witness can be pure. It can be true to what it's supposed to be. I want to read a verse to you in closing in 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians, the 3rd chapter and the 12th verse. And it says, "And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do towards you, to the end He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all His saints." That is a beautiful passage. But what it just said was, may God's love increase in your hearts. May you make space for that. Make space for the Lord to increase in your heart. How much space does He need? He needs all of it. He'll put everything there for you to have a good day and have a good life. But He needs all your heart. All right? May you increase in that. For this purpose, that when Christ splits the heavens open and this world is over and you're going to stand before Him, that you may do it, what does it say? Unblameable in holiness before God. The devil's trying so hard to get us so busy with so many things and so wrapped up in so many things that we forget the simplicity of Christ. Amen. Give Him all your whole heart so that you can stand when He splits the skies open and your life is going to be reviewed, that you can stand before Him unblameable in holiness. You pray for me.